Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities, and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul, and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the evening service. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
The first part of this evening's Bible reading is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 1 to 12. That's page 1071 in your pew Bibles. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. This is the word of the Lord.
He is risen. All right, nice. Okay, good. If we haven't met before, my name is Dima. I'm the ministry trainee here. It's an honor to be with you. If you're new, a warm welcome to you. Before we look at God's word, let me just say a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the cross. I pray that through your word, we would see more of you, that you would speak to us through your word. Amen. I'm not sure if you've noticed when watching or reading the news lately, but the expression "history was made" is being used quite a lot. It seems with each passing day, the world around us, it's changing rapidly. And at the same time, we have access to a flurry of information. Sometimes it can be difficult to distinguish between something truly memorable and something very mundane. And there is something in us that wants to remember pivotal moments, moments of significance. I was there when this happened. It was a great day. It'll be a day that I never forget. And believe it or not, today is one of those days. It is a day when we remember the resurrection of Jesus. History was made on Easter Sunday. Jesus, who was dead, was raised to life, and this resurrection of Jesus isn't just a historical event. It has the power to change us. And as we look through Luke's carefully investigated account, I pray that we'll see three things tonight. The resurrection of Jesus saves us from our sins. The resurrection of Jesus confirms the truth of God's word. And the resurrection of Jesus sends us out to share the gospel. Saves, confirms, and sends. So first, the resurrection of Jesus saves us from our sins. Let's look at the first 12 verses that were read. It's Sunday, and the women, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, are going to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body with spices. This is a common Jewish burial custom. And we saw last week when Natasha preached on the crucifixion that the women saw how his body was wrapped in linen and placed in a tomb. They witnessed it with their own eyes. And when they get to the tomb, what do they find? The stone has been rolled away, and the body of the Lord Jesus wasn't there. And if we stopped reading then and there, we might wonder, where's Jesus? Why would someone go through the trouble of rolling back this incredibly heavy stone and stealing his body? But if we continue reading, we see that two angels appear and tell them the best news in the whole world. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he has risen. They remember what Jesus had told them through his ministry, report all these things to the other disciples, but they don't believe the women. In fact, Peter runs to the tomb. He's got to check for himself. I wonder what you make of this news from the angels that Jesus is risen. Maybe you've heard it 1,000 times. Maybe it's your first time hearing it this evening. Jesus Christ was crucified, and on the third day, he was raised from the grave. This is one of the central pillars of what it means to be a Christian. This is what we cling to. But why does it matter so much? Well, one of the reasons is that the resurrection of Jesus saves us from our sins. And this sin isn't just doing a couple of bad things. It's our attitude towards God. We have all in some way turned away from God, the God revealed through the Bible. We've stopped desiring him and what he wants for us as our creator, and we've made the determination that we know best. And if we continue to turn away from God, we will spend eternity apart from him. And it's not a matter of being better or holier than the person next to you. It's about realizing how we've rejected our creator, how our sin is serious and it affects every part of our lives. It separates us from God and means that we can't draw near to him. But God, in his mercy and grace, doesn't turn away from us, does he? He sends his son Jesus to save us, and this Jesus lives a perfect life. On this cross that we sing about, he dies in the place of sinners, you and me. He bears God's judgment and punishment for all our sin, past, present, and future. I need to hear that now more than ever. He conquers the power of death. He provides a way for us to spend eternity with God, our Father. We're reunited. And he also gives us hope that no matter how bad things are on this earth, death is not the end for us. This life isn't our final destination. We have hope. He saves us. And what does this Jesus ask of us? He asks us to repent and to believe. Now, this isn't just an academic belief. The Christian faith isn't like reading a book and then putting it back on the shelf after we're done with it. It profoundly changes us. It changes everything about us. Tim Keller describes it like wearing glasses, which I have on today, just for this occasion. Just kidding. He says, I don't spend all my time looking at and talking about my glasses, but I do spend all my time seeing everything through my glasses. And if my relationship between me and my glasses gets off, if they get too far down my nose or get too dirty, it affects my perception of everything. A person with a relationship with Christ is looking at everything through the lens of Christ. So believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. God will transform the way that you deal with suffering, difficulties, challenges. God will transform the desires of your heart so that you want to please him. God will transform you into the image of his son, Jesus, each and every day. It's a glorious transformation. The resurrection of Jesus saves us from our sins. So believe. Let me pray real quick. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your son came for us, that he did this all for us, that he provides a way back to you, And Father, I pray that even if we've heard this 1,000 times, it would ring true in our hearts today. We would see how much we need Jesus. We would long for him. We would believe in him more and more. Amen. We're now going to sing of the living hope that we have in Jesus.
Now that the same day, two of them were going to the village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem, and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked, about Jesus of Nazareth. They replied, "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to the sentence to death, and they crucified him. But we had hope that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all of this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us." They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but to him they did not see. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have suffered these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those with them, assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what happened to on the way, and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Sure. So we've looked at how the resurrection of Jesus saves us from our sins. Let's now look at how the resurrection of Jesus confirms the truth of God's word. We've got two disciples, one named Cleopas, and they are both going to Emmaus, a village about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They're talking about the events of the last few days, the trial and crucifixion of Jesus, and they're obviously sad and dejected about what has happened. They didn't expect things to happen this way. And look who shows up. It's Jesus in the flesh. They're kept from recognizing him. We'll get to that in a moment. But notice that this isn't a ghost or a spirit. It's Jesus himself walking with them on the road. He is risen. Death has been defeated. And Jesus is curious to know what they're talking about. They respond, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" Imagine you're back in July of 1969. The moon landing has just happened, and you're on a train going somewhere. You manage to strike up a conversation with the person sitting next to you, and they haven't heard the news. You can't believe it. It's the only thing that people are talking about. And after the conversation ends, the man that's sitting next to you gets off, and you realize it's Neil Armstrong. You wonder why he pretended he didn't know about the thing that he did. Why does Jesus do this? Why is his true identity hidden from them? Well, I think the next few verses give us the answer. The two disciples tell Jesus what they've witnessed, his power and word and deed, his sentencing, the crucifixion, his body is missing. They don't know where he is. And how does Jesus reply? He calls them foolish and slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Verse 27 says, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." Jesus wants them to believe, but before opening up their physical eyes, he wants them to see how the scriptures point to him. That's the primary importance here. Seeing the resurrected Jesus through the scriptures, through the Bible. And when you think about it, that must have been the greatest Bible study ever. I mean, I've been a part of some Bible studies, but that must have been the greatest thing. How awesome would it have been for Jesus himself to explain the scriptures to you? I mean, just the perfect Bible study in every way. That's what these two men went through. And for us here today, as we read the Old Testament, we too can see how it points to Jesus. Let me give you some examples. The seed of the woman who will crush the head of the serpent in the Garden of Eden. The blessing of Abraham to all the nations in Genesis. The Passover lamb in Exodus. The son of David who was a king greater than David. The good shepherd of Psalm 23. The suffering servant of Isaiah 53. The Son of Man who would establish a kingdom that would never end in Daniel. And not just in the Old Testament, the entire Bible is about God saving his people, you and me, through the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ. Now notice what happens next in the story. As they approach the village, the disciples urge Jesus strongly to stay with them. Look at the language there. They desire his presence. They don't want him to leave. They come to the table to have a meal. Jesus breaks bread. They recognize him. And then he disappears. Then in verse 32, they ask each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us when he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" What do we make of their hearts burning? I think this is the ministry of God's word and of Jesus, the living word of God. The resurrected Jesus was there on the road with those disciples, talking to them, confirming the truth of God's word. It also makes us ask, when we read the Bible, are our hearts burning? Is the word of God doing a powerful work in our own hearts as we read it? Do we believe that the words we are reading are true? That they have power? They give us life? The same pages that point to Jesus as our Savior through his resurrection also show us how to live a life pleasing to God. They describe the world around us. They describe our experience as followers of Jesus, even though they were written thousands of years ago. They're pages that speak truth in every situation that we can think of. They have power through God's Spirit inside us to change our lives, to transform us to be more like Jesus in every way. This resurrection of Jesus confirms the truth of God's word. We can trust that God is speaking to us through it. So let's grow deeper in our love and knowledge of it. Let's pray that our hearts would burn as we encounter Jesus through God's word. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that we don't have to wonder who you are, that you reveal yourself through your word. And I pray that as we read it, that our hearts would burn as we see you. Would you, by your Spirit, change us? Amen.
We continue Luke 24 at verse 36, which is on page 1072. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written: the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks very much, Matthew. So, we've looked at how the resurrection of Jesus saves us from our sins. We've looked at how it confirms the truth of God's word. Let's now look at how it sends us out to share the gospel. We saw in the last passage that the word has spread that Jesus has risen. All the disciples are now together discussing this news, and Jesus appears. Not some ghost or spirit. The resurrected Jesus in his bodily form appears to the disciples. And Jesus wants to make sure the disciples and all of us know that it's him. He doesn't want us to doubt. He wants them to look at his hands, at his feet. He even goes above and beyond and eats some broiled fish with them to prove that he's not a ghost. He again reminds them that he is the fulfillment of the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, that he had to suffer and be raised from the dead on the third day. This is now the third time that we see the fulfillment of God's plan to save us. But notice what Jesus says in verses 47 and 48. and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." See, this news, this resurrection, can't be hidden. The gospel isn't just for the disciples in that room. It's for all of us, for all the nations, for everyone. The message needs to be preached throughout the whole world. And if you're wondering tonight, this is where you come in, all of you in these pews. That is our cue to enter the scene. See, if we truly understand what Jesus has done for us on the cross and who we were before we trusted in him, only then will we have the desire to share this living hope with others. We will want God to open their eyes to see the power of the cross, to see Jesus not just as a good teacher who said some nice things, maybe we've got a fridge magnet of him, but someone that they can give their whole lives to, someone who is worthy of that praise, of that adoration. They will see and we will want to share how Jesus has changed our lives, how he has changed our hearts, our desires, our priorities. Maybe your friend or family member becoming a Christian won't be broadcast on the BBC or have its own Wikipedia page, but it does have eternal significance. We must believe this. It's true. We have an incredible message to share. History was made when Jesus was raised from the dead. So let's share it.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.